vacation time, and for the this is for a question. Say I would like to talk to the students. So what are you doing these days, students? Are you relaxing or you have just go and apply for a job, or you have to have a job for something? But at night, when you go to sleep, if you don't go for vacation, maybe have you dream of going to school? Nananaginip na ikaw ay, oh, may pasok pa ako bukas. Do you still dream that? Have you dream of rushing out of bed and then realize, oh, it's vacation time. Nasubukan niyo yun? Biro ko kay Laika kasi sinabi niya sa akin, nananaginip daw siya na napupunta ng school. And sabi ko sa kanya, that's PTSD. What PTSD? Post-traumatic stress disorder for student. And I know I can identify. I've been out of school for many years and still remember my high school days, my younger days. I dream of going to school. And actually, I dream of my life when I was a student. And nakita ko yung mga kaklase ko, that we were talking about our escapades, we were talking about our rascality, our pranks, sa mga ginagawa namin sa mga sa eskwelahan, that I am not very happy. It's not worthy to tell publicly. Then I woke up and wonder, I often dream those things. I wonder, why would God let me dream of my wickedness in my youth? I check my heart. Do I feel guilty of those improper behaviors when I was a student? But I sense peace, complete peace. Why? I realized that when I repented of my sins, the Lord has forgiven me and also took away the guilty feelings and doubts in my heart. So if you recall your escapades, if you recall your wickedness, your pranks, your rascality, your naughtiness when you were teenagers, do you still feel guilty? There was time when we were in high school, we would go and nagnanakaw kami ng mga pakwan. Ano yung pakwan? Watermelon. So, during fiesta, this is time for fiesta. During fiesta, this time of the year is fiesta, and there are a lot of pakwan out there. When people were in the plaza, we go on the field and eat pakwan. That was my escapades when I was young. Meron isang kikwento punta sa pare, Father, I would like to ask for forgiveness. Why? Kasi, Father, ay nainakaw ko po yung langka. Ah, okay. So, pray 10 Our Fathers. Oh, Father, can I pray 20? Why? Just 10. Oh, kasi, Father, malapit nang malhinog yung langka na katabi. Those were the young, youthful escapades. You know the stories? Seriously speaking, when the Lord was crucified with our sin, the Lord took our sin and crucified with Him on the cross. And doubts and guilt included. So when we ask for forgiveness, God has forgiven us. And He also removed the guilt and doubts. Do you agree? But if you recall on that escapades, if you recall on those pranks, these rascalities that you've done before and still feel guilty, that like itinago mo yung paboritong laruan ng iyong kapitbahay and you feel guilty, just ask the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for that, for my youthful escapades. Take away the guilt so that I feel free from that. Ask the Lord, He will take it away. Just as He had taken away our sins, He will take away the guilt and the doubts, the blame games that comes with sinning. And you will feel that peace when we allow the Spirit of Christ to reign in our hearts. That's the reigning of Christ. We do not look back and say, oh, I've been very bad at the time. No, He had already forgotten that when He forgave us. God has forgotten the sins He had forgiven. He don't bring to our face. Ikaw, Lorenzo, ikaw, masyado kang maluko nung ikaw bata. He won't say that anymore. He already forgiven me. And He won't do that to you. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 7, it says, let's read this. Can you read? If you can have your Bible. Do not remember the sin of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me for you, Lord, our good. That is King David. King David said that he had his rebellious ways, but he did not tell when he testified. He did not tell what he did. He did not say that he was also selling sheep of his father. I don't know what he did before. Maybe he also had stolen some grapes or something from the neighbors. I don't know. But he said he had his share of rebellion. But he said he trusted God, that God won't bring his wickedness that he committed when he was a young person, that God would not bring out again. He trusted that with goodness, the goodness of God, the Lord will remember him, not because of what he did, not because of what his goodness or something, that God would take care of his needs, but not mention his wickedness. Yun ang sinasabi ng King David. King David declared in Psalm 32, verse 1, let's read this. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Now, blessedness means supreme happiness. Now, do you have that supreme happiness when you still feel guilty of those things that you have done in the past? Do you have that supreme happiness when you feel that blame game that would continue to remind you of your naughtiness in the past? No, right? You cannot say, I'm happy, but in your mind, you are thinking of the effect of the sin. So that's not supreme happiness. Supreme happiness or blessedness can be experienced when we are forgiven. So by faith, so how could we be freed? Now, to be forgiven by the Lord is blessedness, and God's forgiveness is supreme happiness. We have that supreme happiness added. Really, how? We cannot sense that blessedness or supreme happiness when we doubt or we feel guilty. So, when He forgives us, the Lord forgets our sin. He forgets it. He doesn't remind us again because He had forgiven. He does not bring our sin again to make us feel guilty or doubt. But who would? Sino po yung nagbibigay? Sino yung nagre-remind sa atin? Sino yung nagbibigay sa atin ng doubt if not the Lord? He is not. The Lord did not. So who? Maybe we just, our sinful nature cannot even forgive ourselves. Do you forgive yourself? Do you blame yourself? Some people say it's the enemy reminding us of our sinfulness. But that's too much blame for the devil. When we repent of our sins, we believe that God has forgiven us, but still feel guilty, there's still this hint of doubt in us that God has taken away our sins in guilt. Now, What do we do? Sometimes we have this creativity. We just want to become busybodies. We want to be involved in many things, activities, and but those things cannot replace that freedom from sin, that freedom from guilt, that freedom from doubts. It cannot. We cannot. Maybe we can forget for a while, but later we are reminded when we are on our bed and looking back at what we have done. And still those guilt feelings are still coming in, attacking us. So what should we do? We ask the Lord, Lord, prevail in my heart. Let you be my Lord. Let you Lord over my mind, my heart, and everything, and cover me with your grace, with your love, with your peace, with your joy. Meaning, you let the Holy Spirit bear fruit in your heart. When the Holy Spirit bears fruit, and we are overwhelmed with love and joy and peace, where will doubt comes in? Kung punong-puno tayo ng pag-ibig, punong-puno tayo ng kagalakan, ng kapayapaan, saan papasok yung doubts and guilt? Kung makakapasok pa rin, meaning there's still a space in us that guilt and blame and doubts come in. Meaning we are not really full of the Holy Spirit, right? How can you fill a glass of water full of water? It will just overflow, right? The same is true when we allow Christ to be completely 100% Lord of our life. How can we do that? Many times we are, but Pastor, I pray that Christ would be the Lord of my life. Yes, I understand. But sometimes, deep in our hearts, we don't do it very sincerely. But I've been sincere. Are you sure? The heart is deceptive. I tell you, the Bible says so. The heart is deceptive. He deceives us because the inclination of our human heart is evil all the time. When the Lord says, you are perfect, then you are perfect. It's not us who would tell us we are perfect. So, by faith, we receive God's forgiveness. By faith, we believe that God removes the guilt and doubt. And when we let Christ prevail in our life, how we do that? Ask the Lord, Lord, please reign in my heart. Then when we sense a little of doubt, a little of guilt, Lord, please, I want to completely experience freedom from guilt and blame games. Keep on asking the Lord. And His righteousness becomes our lifestyle. That is, seek ye first in the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Those things added, even the old things is not only material things, but even the emotional, the intellectual things are added in our life. So when Christ's righteousness prevails in our life, in our lifestyle, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, that is seeking the kingdom of God, seeking Christ's righteousness prevail in our life. And when we face the Lord, we don't sense the guilt feeling. We become perfect, we become holy. God will give us that sense of holiness and perfection before Him, so that when we pray, we know that God accepts us. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. Let's read together. God made him who had no sin to be, we might become the righteousness of God. There's no righteousness in us. It's the righteousness of Christ that prevails in us. When Christ prevails in us, His righteousness becomes our lifestyle. We look at ourselves and do not reason at something like, oh, I am saved, once saved, always saved. No, that's not. We don't reason out with doctrines. We are not saved by reasons. We are saved by grace. Remember that. The Bible did not say, you are saved by your intellectuality. You are saved by your logic. You are saved. No, we are saved by God's grace. Whatever we believe, we should trust Christ, that it's Christ who gives us righteousness and not because of what we believe as a church or as Christians. This Christmas, last Christmas, it reminds us of Christ's birth. Christ came, he died on the cross, and he resurrected, and we hope for his coming again. We hope that his return, he will return. And I pray that you would pray with me that he will return in our lifetime. Before we die, he will come back. How about that? That is one thing that I would love to see God answer in my prayer. But as we wait for his coming again, we are tasked to tell his story. Tell about his love for us. Tell about what he has done in our life. And as believers of Christ, what should we testify? What is it that you would testify that Christ has done in your life? What should we tell others about our blessedness? Supreme happiness that we have, what will we tell others? If you were to reflect on your life in 2019, this year, do you think that you've been blessed more than 2018, the past year? What was the greatest blessing you personally received this year? Can you think of one? What is the greatest blessing you have this year? I'm 1 year older. Have you thanked the Lord for it yet? Or will you hope, will you expect greater blessing this coming year, 2020? The first command of the Lord that includes a promise is of blessedness had been often ignored and disregarded. The first command of the Lord that included a promise of blessedness had been ignored or disregarded. Many people disregard this. What is it? It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Let's read. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. 3. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training. Instruction of the Lord. Now, you've been hearing this lately. And listen. Listen carefully. God has commanded children what? Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and mother. Obey and honor parents. That's the command. This command of God to honor parents, obey parents, to whom it was given? Kanino po binigay? Children. Ito ba ay command para sa parents? Is this command for parents? No. So, to children, it's command for children. What does that mean? God did not say, hey, parents, command your children to obey you. Command your children to honor you. God did not give that command to parents. But many parents would rebuke disobedient children. The Lord says, honor me! Obey me! Most often the result, children keep disobeying. Huh? Right? In relation to honor of parents, what is the command of God for parents then? God commanded parents to raise children in the training and instruction of the Lord. How is that? Most likely, children resist and ignore command. Not only children, all humans, we resist commands. But parents don't command children, but teach children about godly life, and that is including honor of parents. The Bible says, honor your parents. So what would we do? Wait for them to respond, not just trying to force them to obey. No, that's not the case. So children, we are all children, so everyone listen. Believe when God promised that it may go well with you. It may go well with you. That's the promise of God. It may go well with you and enjoy the fullness of life when you obey and honor your parents. But for parents who have no more parents, I pray that your children would honor God and obey you, honor you. Just pray, keep on praying, and tell them this is what the Bible says. That's leave it to God, leave to God that God would change them. So the term to go well with you, this is about success in life. You will be successful. It's not about material success. It's a general aspect of success. It's to be successful if you have life to its fullness. So even if in little material things, if you feel like you're successful, even when you play basketball and you lose and you enjoy it, that's success. It's not about winning, right? You enjoy playing and you know that you did not hurt anybody. That's success in itself. Many times people would think about success in material things, but that is not biblical. That is the human viewpoint of humans. So if it is not biblical, don't just try to embrace it. Well, in open arms, be critical and think about it and think, is that kind of success that I want? And many people would think that because Bill Gates had the most money, everybody wants to have the most money because they want to be popular like Bill Gates. And well, if you want to have a lifestyle like Bill Gates, then go ahead. But if you don't like to have that kind of lifestyle, then ask the Lord. Now, going back to our passage today, Jacob had trained his children. Do you believe that? And Joseph exemplified obedience and honor of parents. And we can learn from that. He was blessed and more successful because he obeyed God's command. God's command to honor parents, to obey parents. In verse 22 and 23, we read that again. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climbs over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him and shot at him with hostility. If you look at that, fruitfulness is a result of success. It did not mean material things only, but that success, to have fruit, is other people would enjoy the fruit, right? Obviously, Joseph was more successful than all his brothers combined. And sister. And Joseph compared Joseph to a fruitful vine, and his other sons and their families relied upon him, upon Joseph, for their need during the severe famine. All of them, they were dependent upon Joseph, so it showed that Joseph was that fruitful vine that other people enjoyed the fruit of the vine. And the fruitfulness of a vine, it relies upon the source of water. If you plant that vine in a place where there's no water, it will die. And vines are also dependent upon trellis or something. Ano bang tawag doon sa trellis sa Tagalog? Balag. Sapaw ko na dahil yelo ka, no? arbor or wooden fence, something like that. And Joseph was like a vine planted near a spring, the source of water, and its branches climb wall. We talk about the wall, it pertains about like a concrete wall, which is more stable than a wooden trellis or arbor or something. So to be planted near a spring implies the abundant source of water. And to climb over a wall, it implies the stability of growth, even during stormy weather. During stormy weather, when you put that vine in a trellis, it might destroy the trellis and the vine itself. But with a wall, that would implies stability of growth of the branches. The Lord said in John 7:38, let's read this together. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, river of living water will flow from within. By faith, Christ secures, sustains our needs even when life is stormy. That is why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, meaning the sustenance that we need, not just material things. God, the Lord will sustain it when we allow the Lord Jesus to reign in our lives. And Joseph trusted the Lord at a very young age. He was his father's favorite, not because he was so cute or the youngest at the time, but maybe he was, but because Jacob saw in him that obedience in the Lord. Or he may have been very attentive when his father was teaching about honoring parents. He was thinking of that. He was trying to apply it in his life, but his faith in God. And his faith was tested if he had faith when he was sold as a slave. He kept on trusting God. And when he was imprisoned because of false accusation, he kept on trusting God. And remember this. When God bless you, there will always be somebody who will get envious, hostile, unhappy because you are blessed. Hostility toward a blessed person like Joseph is the story of mankind. It happened. It started with the first brothers, Cain and Abel. So this is not new story. It's old, as old as the first creation. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, let's read this to be reminded of this. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portion, from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but Cain in his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And you know what happened? Cain killed his brother Abel. Why? He didn't want Abel to appear like better than him. That deplorable situation was very similar to the story of Joseph and his brothers. He became the favorite of his father. Joseph became his favorite because of that. His brothers were so envious and they hated him. They wanted to kill him, actually. He was more favored more than his brothers. Joseph favored him. Could you agree that the blessedness of Joseph, this was added bonus because of his faith in the Lord, which he exemplified when he was obedient to his father, Jacob. Now the story, he honored his father, Jacob. So when his father asked him, so what happened in the field actually? When Joseph and his brothers come home, what happened to our sheep? Why are they not multiplying? Oh, his brothers would come and say, oh, father, our sheep were killed by wild animals. And then, is that true, Joseph? Father, actually, my brother sold the sheep. That's why it's not multiplying. He tells the truth to his father. He tells the escapades of his brothers. he knew that his brothers will be angry with him. He did not pay attention to that. He was more scared of dishonoring his father. Last night we were watching a movie. A man saw that his ex-girlfriend was a witness to a crime, but he did not tell his boss because he wanted to save his ex-girlfriend's reputation. He didn't want to honor his boss. His boss, because of that, the investigation was very slow. So that's a choice we make every day. We chose on protecting our reputation and our friendship with others by not telling about what they are doing. And also in the end, we also destroy our reputation to whoever should give us that reputation, to God. Joseph was hated, was sold a slave, falsely accused, imprisoned. Those challenges of life didn't make him doubt. He grew stronger in his faith in the Lord instead. So Joseph was like a fruitful vine near spring whose branches climb over a wall, and his family, his brother's family, and his father, they benefited from his success. Jesus said in John 15:4, let's read this, "Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me." And the psalmist described his dependence upon the Lord in Psalm 61, verse 3. Let's read this. "For you have been my refuge, strong tower against the foe." And we can learn from the lifestyle of Joseph. He trusted in the Lord, and he was fruitful and more blessed than his brothers. He was stable in his faith in the Lord. Christ, the living water, he sustains our needs, material needs, emotional needs, intellectual needs, spiritual needs. We rely upon him as our strong tower, like a vine that climbs on the wall. He makes us fruitful. We cannot be fruitful on ourselves, and make us successful and even steadfast in our faith, strong in our faith, steady in our faith. Let's read again verse 24. "But his bow remained steady, his strong arm stayed limber because of the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel." Now, have you tried using bow in our... I tried when we went to... Where was that? Russo River. We went to Russo River. I tried that bow and arrow, and I tried the biggest, and it's so strong I cannot hold them. So I need to find something not so strong. And warriors need to have that strong arms to use that bow effectively. The Lord, the mighty one of Jacob, enabled Joseph to aim steadily with steadfastness. Steadfastness to be steady. Kaya kung gagamitin mo yung bow and arrow, you need to have no shaky hand. If you are shaking your hand, then you cannot take the bull's eye, right? You need to have steady. And it was the Lord who made Joseph steady in all his tasks. He kept on, he focused on what he was doing, not thinking about what is his life or what is his situation. He was a shepherd. He didn't say, "Oh, kawawa naman ako shepherd, ang mga kuya ko sila ay shepherd din." But when he was a slave, he didn't say, "Oh, buti pa ang mga kuya ko mga shepherd, ako slave." He didn't say that. And he was a prisoner. "Oh, buti pa ang mga kuya ko siya ay mga shepherd, very, they are free to do what they would do. Ako andito, ako as a prisoner. No. But he kept on trusting the Lord. He was steady in his faithfulness. His life experience are not the most desirable. We don't love that. We don't like to become slaves. We don't like to become prisoners. But this story was given, was experienced by Joseph for us to show that if you are in the lowliest of the lowliest kind of life, you can still have steady, steadfast faith in the Lord when we keep on trusting in the Lord. The Lord was his shepherd. He did not doubt the Lord, that the Lord has great plan for him. He dreamed twice that he would be greater than his brothers, and that was revelation of the Lord to him. He kept on trusting the Lord wanted me to be great, so keep on. Maybe there's time. It's not yet time. Not yet the right time for me to be greater. So he kept on trusting the Lord. Can you accept that being a slave and being a prisoner were very essential part of his success in life? Can you agree with that? So whatever situation you may experience, those deplorable, undesirable, unavoidable situation may have been God's instruments or essential parts of the success he has prepared for you. So keep on trusting the Lord. Don't wait, hintayin ko na pag ganito na ang buhay ko, saka na lang. No, don't wait for that. Joseph did not wait for betterness of life for him to keep on trusting the Lord. He trusted when he was a slave and he was a prisoner. Now, in verse 25 it says, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of breast and womb. Now, when Jacob gave his blessing to Joseph, he mentioned, if you've been here last Sunday, he mentioned, or you can go back and read verse 49 of Genesis. Jacob mentioned the word bless multiple times, not just once. When he blessed Joseph, but he never said the word blessed to his other sons. Was it because Joseph was his favorite son, or was it God's indirect way to teach a lesson, the lesson that blessing accompanies obedience in honor of parents? Jacob emphasized that the God of Jacob helped bless Jacob with abundance of blessing from the skies above, abundance of blessings from deep springs below, and abundance of motherhood. What did Jacob mean? Every aspect of life, Joseph was blessed. Joseph didn't grumble when he was separated from his family and was sold as a slave. Became a slave, became prisoner in Egypt. He didn't grumble about that. It feels sad. He felt sad, but he didn't complain. Joseph didn't worry about his life, about his future. He didn't complain about his situation. But what is it that you are struggling and complaining in life? Have you been accused of a thing you did not commit? Are you struggling on how you become better parents or to your children? Or are you struggling to become better employee or become students? To have faith in Jesus is to follow him without hesitation, without if, without doubts. No ifs, no buts. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 62, let's read this thing. A man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow looks back as is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus said, Jesus said that he had no place to lay his head. This passage, mostly scholars would use it to say that Jesus was poor. Did he really imply that he was poor? In this, Jesus sensed that man who wanted to follow him wanted material blessing. When he said he wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went, he sensed that, I will follow you wherever you go. And when he said, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Expect that. If you follow me, something like that. The scholars agree that Christ didn't accumulate material wealth, and Christ implies that his followers should not focus on materialism. Materialism would be added, but should not be the focus. Christ told another man to follow him, but the man wanted, may I bury my father first? Well, it did not say that his father had died, did he? That the father has died? Well, it says, as a responsible son, he was saying to the Lord, to Jesus, as a responsible son, he assumed his obligation was to wait his father, because maybe his father was ailing, he is old, or maybe he's still strong, but he wanted to show his father that he is a responsible son and wanted to bury him, that he is the one who would bury his father, so that he would be seen as responsible son to his father. Before he commits to follow the Lord, he wanted to do his obligation as responsible son. The third man wanted to follow Christ after saying goodbye to his family. That could be a cultural practice. Not to leave the family out of your plan. Whatever you plan about, don't leave your family, something like that. So it may have been their practices that this is my plan. I want to follow the Lord. So I need to inform my Lord, my family that I'm going to follow the Lord. Now, materialism, obligation, and cultural practices, these are but few among many reasons of not following Christ completely. The requirements of Christ for his disciples is to avoid distraction, to focus on the goal to be with him, the kingdom of God. That should be our focus. There are a lot of distraction. There's a lot of disturbances that may keep our focus. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, let's read this together. Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, that the love of God, you cannot reason as, because it surpasses knowledge, it surpasses logic, it surpasses philosophy. So you just cannot comprehend it. So we do not base our faith on the Lord with knowledge, because nobody is saved by faith, nobody is saved by logic, nobody is saved by doctrine. We are saved by grace. That's the love of God that surpasses knowledge. The more we trust the Lord, the more challenges of life we may face. We should expect that. But the greater blessedness we may have. We look at Joseph. Joseph overcome great challenges in his life, more than his brothers. His brothers were not sold as slaves. His brothers were not imprisoned, though he imprisoned Simeon before when they came to Egypt. But Joseph kept on trusting the Lord, and his father Jacob declared greater, more superior blessing for him than his brothers. Verse 26, let's read. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all the rest let all this rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. Now, that term, ancient mountains and age-old hill, these are figurative description of Jacob's ancestor, Abraham and Isaac. So, previously, Jacob said to Joseph, you're blessed by the Lord. Yet he also prophesied that his fatherly blessing were superior, were greater than all the blessings of his ancestors, Abraham and Isaac. More than the blessing that Isaac can give. Why? Because Jacob learned from both of them. So his learning, his understanding, his experience, he can compare it to the blessing he received. So did Jacob imply that Joseph had superior blessing than his brothers because great blessing was included when Joseph diligently obeyed him? Now, if this person gives much more blessing, you would obey him because he would bless greater. And that happened to Joseph. You've got greater blessing when you obeyed me. Perhaps he was saying that. My fatherly blessing are greater than the blessing of my ancestor, your Lolo and your grand Lolo, Abraham and Isaac. Verse 27, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he devours the prey. In the evening, he divides the plunder. Now, Jacob gave blessing to each of the children. Benjamin was Jacob's youngest son, the last one to receive Jacob's blessing. And Jacob compared Benjamin to a ravenous wolf. And we can read through the life of the Benjamites, the tribe of Benjamin. They were known for their ferocity and courage. Now, Joseph and Benjamin, they were sons of Jacob and Rachel. But interestingly, Joseph had blessings greater than Benjamin. And yet, like many parents would give special attention sa bunso, right? Youngest child. Do you do that? Yung bunso mo, kasi paborito? Kaya yung panganay sa amin, kasi paborito mo yung bunso. Sabi naman ng bunso, kasi paborito mo yung panganay. But we are human. Do we do that? But Jacob said that the Lord blessed Joseph. He also added that his fatherly blessing was greater than the blessing of his ancestor, and it practically illustrates the God's grace. Now, in here, it was not Benjamin who had greater blessing than his other brothers. It was Joseph. It was Joseph who obeyed Jacob more than his brothers. And this is illustration of God's grace. When the Lord grants greater blessing to obedient believers. You want to read more about that? Go to our website and reread, and you will learn. Reread the manuscript there. Jesus has explained obedience acceptable to God the Father. Ito po yung explanation ng Panginoong Hesus sa ang obedience. John 10:14-18, let's read this together. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They also listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. And the command I received from my Father. Ano daw yung paboritong sasakyan ng Panginoong Hesus? The Accord. By faith, we believe that Christ received the highest praise and honor from God because he was obedient to God, the Father, even to his death on the cross. Yun po ang obedience according to Christ. Obedience to the Lord is the most practical proof of faith in Christ. You have faith in Christ? Look at yourself if you are obeying the Lord. If not, then keep asking, Lord, bakit ayaw kong mag-obey sa iyo? Wala ba akong faith? Kulang ba ang aking faith? Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. And then, when you sense that joy, that peace of obeying the Lord, you know that your faith has grown. So keep on asking the Lord. Don't force yourself. Oh, I need to go. I need to go to prayer meeting because pastor said, and he might again preach about that, and I feel ashamed. Well, if that would force you to obey the Lord, it's good, but keep asking the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. Joseph has proven that his faith was genuine. His faith was steadfast, steady, firm. When he trusted the Lord, when everything seemed unfavorable, undesirable, deplorable situation that he experienced. We recall in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 3, and verse 20 to 23. Let's read this, and may this be an encouragement for each of us as we look forward to the coming 2020. Let's read it together. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ismailites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything. Verse 20, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all this held in prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. It did not say that his training, his education, his experiences, his relationship, his relatives gave him success. It was the Lord who gave him that success. So, brothers and sisters, you want to have a successful life this 2020? This is a lesson. Whatever you do, don't forget the Lord. Trust the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, whatever I do, let it be a glorifying to your name. So, 2020 is coming 3 days from now, and we hope to receive greater blessing than the previous year, this year, 2019. And Joseph exemplified blessedness lifestyle, blessedness that comes from the Lord by faith in Christ. Joseph exemplified faith in the Lord by his obedience to his father. Obedience to his father. By trusting the Lord despite of trials, struggles of life that he endured, the Lord showed faithfulness in all those predicaments, unpleasant experiences, deplorable situations in the life of Joseph. Let's continue to pray that God may increase our faith. No matter what may come, we trust our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is in control of everything in heaven and on earth. Amen. Have a blessed and prosperous New Year to all. Shall we stand up? Before we sing our closing song, may I ask each one of us to bow down our heads. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask the Lord that you will experience greater blessing this coming year. Ask the Lord that you may continue to obey him. Keep asking.